Open your Bibles this morning up to Luke chapter 15. You know, when Jesus taught, a lot of times he taught in these things called parables, just stories about everyday life, stories that people could relate to. He didn't try to teach over their heads. He wanted them to understand everything that he was saying to them. And so he taught a lot of times from in stories of everyday life. And this is one of those parables. It's one of the most popular parables in Scripture. It's called the parable of the prodigal son. You know, I've heard other people say it should have been called the parable of the loving father, because the father is really the star of this show. The father is the one who makes the good feeling at the end of the story possible. But in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, and it said this, "And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the young son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate." You know, I've always enjoyed this story, even from the time I was a new Christian, even to today, reading it this week. I've spent some time up in Nebraska when we would get breaks in the show and try to find some time to study, and I would go back and read over this passage and just try to pick out little things, because we're starting revival next week, and as I read this, there's a road to revival. There's a map to revival in this passage. You know, when we see this kid, one of the things, I guess, that we can all relate to is family. We've all got family. And you know, not every family's perfect. Let me say that again. There are no perfect families. There's really good families, and then there's families that struggle, and there's everything in between that. There is no perfect family. But one of the things that I think this story teaches us is that in all of families, you know, and I think Jesus knew this. He was telling a story that says, hey, there's hurts everywhere, but there is a father who cares. And we see the story of what led to some of the hurts. Many times, when you look at this young son, this prodigal was a kid who probably, like a lot of kids, how many of you had a teenager somewhere along the way that said to you, "Oh, that was back when you were young, people thought like that"? You know, we're getting older and smarter now, right? We've all had kids that say, "You don't understand the way the world is now." And those of you who are teenagers now, you will have a son or a daughter one day who will say to you, "Oh, Dad," or "Oh, Mom, you're an old fogey. The world has changed." The world's changing every day, but let me tell you, there's some things that you learn when you're older that makes you a little smarter. And you will be there one day. But what this son has and what we see in his life is that many times rebellion is a result of wrong wants. He had some wants. And the main thing he wanted was, he wanted my share now. You know, the custom of that day, the older son got 2/3, younger son 1/3. He should have gotten that at the father's death. But he didn't want it at the father's death. He wanted it now. Once, without the father's approval, always leads to regret. And when I say that, I'm talking about our Heavenly Father. Because you see, we're a lot like that sometimes with God. God's got a plan for our life. He's our Heavenly Father. But you know, for whatever reason, we look at the world and we think we know more than God. We think, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. And we don't really seek the Father's approval. And we find ourselves maybe in a place like this son was about to find himself, because rebellion is a result of wrong wants. And then wants without the Father's approval will lead to regret. The Father had a different plan. But you know what's interesting about the Father? It doesn't say here that the Father argued with him. It doesn't say here that, and I'm sure the Father said, I don't think that's a good idea. That's part of living. But Jesus told the story and said this, the Father agreed. God gives us a choice in how we live our life. Many times he'll let us choose those things that even puts us in opposition with him. He lets us choose things that he knows is not good for us. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But many times rebellion, what we see is rebellion always will take us further than we want to go. Or, you know, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay. Look at verse 14. In verse 14 it says, now when he had spent everything. So what did his rebellion cost him? Everything. A severe famine occurred in that country. And it cost him more than he had, more than he wanted to pay. At some point, rebellion against the Father brings pain. That's the way it is in our life. That's the way we live. If we choose to live in opposition to God, there's going to be pain involved. There's going to be an emptiness. There's going to be a loss of purpose. There's going to be times that we're hurting and feel like, what now? What we plant eventually comes to harvest, and that's what happened in this boy's life. His money ran out. The wild living that sounded so good to him. You know what happens? Sometimes when we live in rebellion with God, our wants will change, but not for the better. Look what this young man wanted. Look what this boy wanted here. In verse 16, and he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. Do you think when this plan began, do you think when this desire to move on and move away from the Father began, that he would have even thought about touching anything that had to do with a pig? Man, that was taboo. Now he wants to eat what the pigs eat. Rebellion had led him to the hole so far from where he once began. What he once found disgusting now seemed necessary. So much so he applied for the job. You know, the New Living Translation says he persuaded the man to hire him. He was in a distant land, far from his family. But I'm going to tell you something. Here's what I really want you to grab hold of here. He was a distant land, far from who he really was, who he was created to be. That's what sin does to us as Christians. When we separate ourselves from God, slowly and surely we make our way so far from him that one day we'll get up, we'll look in a mirror, and we won't even recognize who we are. God has a plan. You know people like that. How many people do you know that never intended on being alcoholics? But this morning, they've crawled up in the amber bottle and they can't get out. They don't even recognize themselves anymore. They never intended that when they started down the road. You know, sin will take you further than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay. And at some point, you'll find yourself in a distant land. You look in a mirror and you don't recognize yourself anymore. And here's what you say. I remember when. I remember when I used to go to church camp. I remember when that I used to go be faithful at church. I remember when that I used to pray every day. But I don't feel like that anymore. I don't even recognize who I am today. Talk different, walk different, act different, live different than what it could have been. That's where this prodigal found himself. Values he once owned were distant memories. Relationships and friends he once treasured were gone. The self-esteem that he once felt was a distant thought. Here's where he was. He was at a place where no one gave him anything. I think that means more than just food. This morning you've already been given something. Probably someone got up and called you and wished you Happy Father's Day, or they thought of you, or, you know, somebody did something nice for you because they cared. Here's where he was. No one gave him anything. No one gave him any care. No one gave him any love. No one gave him anything that a normal person would value. You might say it like this. He hit rock bottom. Lonely, lost, no one to turn to. Or so he thought. Look at verse 17. This may be the greatest verse in this story. This is my favorite anyway, because it's a statement of hope. It says in verse 17, but when he came, and one translation says, the New Living Translation, when he finally came to his senses, that moment. Wonder what that moment felt like. Have you had a moment like that in your life? A moment when you recognized what God was all about? A moment when you recognize that, man, I need him in my life. When was that moment for you? When he finally came to his senses. It doesn't mean that he suddenly became intelligent, although I think that Hard Knocks wisened him up. I think it means more than he suddenly evaluated his life. What I think it means is when he finally came to his senses, it means he suddenly realized how far he had gotten from the Father. And he began to miss that relationship. That's when a man finally comes to his senses, when he realizes how far he is from God and he wants to get back. You had moments like that in your life? I'm not where I should be, but I want to get back. That's exactly what happened to this young man in the pig pen. Listen, revival will never come to a person's heart until that relationship with the Father becomes front and center. Until we realize that all the things that we place great value on in this world, all those times that we want to, you know, get away and do our own thing, or those things that seem so necessary, those temporary attractions, those things that caused him to want to leave home. You know, I asked him this morning, the first service, you know, what was he thinking? You know, was maybe... How many of you know who Porter Wagner was? Haley, you know who Porter Wagner was? How old are you, 20? Nobody under 20 knows who Porter Wagner was. How about Keith Urban? I mean, yeah, see, everybody, even the under 20. You know, Dad maybe was a Porter Wagner fan. Son was like, no, Dad. No, Dad, just no. Whatever it was that caused him to stray, the moment he came to his senses, he realized, I can go back. I can go back because of one thing. My dad is a fair man. Hey, even the hired slaves are treated well. You know, he got so caught up in those fleshly wants that he forgot what was really important. The young man in this story lost his focus. The things the world had to offer seemed so necessary at that time. Father allowed the Son to go. And I told you earlier I'd come back to this. Why did the Father allow the Son to go? Because he knew that love is not love unless it's something you can choose, unless there's a choice involved. So he allowed the Son to choose to go his own direction. You know, God could have forced us to love him, but that's not the way he chose to make us. Because if we were forced to love, what kind of relationship would that be? God gives us the opportunity to love him. The Father, as I said before, is the star of the show here. The Son made a mess of his life. But even from that pig pen, he remembered there's one person that I can count on. And that's my Father. He's fair. If I go to him and I say, Dad, I've messed up, and I'm honest with him, he'll treat me fairly. I'll go home to my Father and say, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm not deserving to be called your son. You know what that is? That's repentance. I've messed up. I'm sorry. And I don't deserve your forgiveness. But I'm going to go home and ask for it anyway. And in those moments, that's when we find revival. The joy of the Father is evident here. Look at verse 20. In my mind, as I picture this story, as I read this story gives me a great idea of what God is like. Because you see, the Son had strayed. And I'm going to tell you, I believe day after day after day, the Father waited for the child to return. And I believe just like he had done on many occasions, the dad was outside praying or walking around just wishing that the son would return home. That particular day, in the distance, as the father's out there, he sees what he has asked for, and here comes the son. And it says he ran to meet him. Look at verse 20. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, love for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The joy of the father waiting for his children to return. And you know what the father did? You know what I would have done? I told you, right? How many of you? I told you. No, the father grabbed him and hugged him, braced him, and said, it's time to throw the party. Get the fatted calf. Get the robe. We're celebrating today. My son who was dead is now alive. The one that was lost is now found. Revival had come to that heart and that home. Revival is what God's children, is about God's children returning home to fix a broken relationship with the Father. You know, what do you think that Father really wanted? Here's what I think that Father wanted. I think that Father wanted the same thing that every one of us as fathers want. Number one, I want my children to know and to love Jesus. As a father, that's the most important thing I can want for their life. That's the most important thing I can ask for. Is that they know and love Jesus. Number two, you want them to know, and you want them to have a right relationship with their family. You want them to know there's a place that when they're hurting, they can come home to. A place where they are always loved. And number three, more than anything, I guess, or just as much as anything, you want them to know that you love them. Just like a father on earth has those wants for his kids, God has similar wants for your life. This story is about a lost son. You know, we know people who have been there before. We know people whose relationships and their families are so strained, and the son will come back and they'll say, I want to come home. They've burnt so many bridges that it's hard for that father or mother to say, yeah, come on. I want to tell you something. God is our perfect heavenly Father. we may have burnt some bridges between him and us. But this picture of God is one picture only. When your heart is repentant and you're ready to come home, and you're ready to seek his forgiveness, God is ready for you. I don't believe that we serve a heavenly Father. You know, we can get into Calvinism, Arminianism, and all that kind of talk. I don't believe God ever creates anybody to go to hell. I believe he creates every person with a desire to have a relationship with him and to spend eternity with him. Now, some people will, like this prodigal, go off. They won't come back. But if this prodigal in this story went off, and when he came back, Father was looking. Father was ready to embrace him. And just like the Bible tells us, that I believe there's a celebration in heaven that breaks out when a lost sinner comes home. You know, I've been that lost sinner. I've been that person separated from God who thought, you know, it's not supposed to be like this in life. I know God's got a better plan. When I came to my senses, when I realized how far I was from the Father, he welcomed me back. This morning, if you're here and you are having that moment in your life where the Holy Spirit says to you, you are far from the Father, you need to return, pray that you'll listen to that voice. Maybe you're a believer here this morning and you've wandered away from the Father. If there are other things in life that you think, man, I've been doing my own thing. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And I have forgotten what's most important. Maybe this morning there's a time to return. Because I believe God has similar wants for us. He's always searching for the broken. He's always looking for the hurting. The ones who life has knocked down. The one who, through poor choices, have found themselves in a distant land. If you're in a distant land today, I encourage you to do one thing. Come home. Get right with the Lord. Verse 22, he says, quick, we must celebrate. You know, I believe there's a celebration in heaven every time a sinner returns home. God is a God of restoration. You don't believe that? Go back to the Garden of Eden in the very beginning when man sinned against God and the wages of sin was death. God didn't destroy them. God made a way of restoration. The story of the prodigal son is a story of restoration. And we need to be party planners. You know, some of you are good at planning parties. I'm not a very good party planner. I say, show up this time. We're going to get together. I'm not a good party planner. Some of you are like homeroom moms. You know, you bring the cupcakes and all those things for your kids as they grow up in school. And that's good. We need party planners. As Christians, we need to be party planners. We need to be celebrating when someone comes into a right relationship with God. Because if they celebrate in heaven, we need to celebrate on earth. We need to be excited about the opportunity that it comes for people to get right with God. In this story, there's a place where we can probably find ourselves. Maybe you're the son. Maybe you've strayed. Maybe we didn't talk about this guy, but the other brother is a guy who kind of bothers me when I read this story. But you know, the other brother, he could have been a pretty good church member. He was doing what he was supposed to do, right? He didn't leave. He didn't run off. He was doing his duty. But when the lost brother came back, he kind of got upset like, hey, I've been here the whole time. Why aren't you having a party for me? Now, Dad says, you'll always be mine. But your brother was lost. Now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive. You know, sometimes we get so busy doing what we're supposed to do, we don't celebrate the efforts. We don't have a desire to bring sinners home. The church ought to be the place that when a sinner walks through our door, they feel welcome. Number one, we're all sinners. Number two, when people walk through this door, they need to know about Jesus. They need to be able to find him here in us. We need to be out sharing testimonies this week. We need to be out this week inviting people to come and hear about Jesus next week at Revival. Because let me tell you, revival won't happen unless we're excited about it. We just come and sit like the older brother. Okay, I'm doing my duty. I'm sitting here. I'm listening. But if we go out and we say, listen, there's a world of people who are hurting that need to come hear this, and we're excited about them hearing that, then revival will come to your heart and to this church. I hope we're all like the Father, and we have a heart for the broken and the lost. He's the star of the show here. Happy Father's Day to the Lord who treats us the same way. Because we've all, who are Christians, have been lost. And none of us deserve His favor. None of us deserve His goodness. But because of His love and because of a cross and because of an empty grave, today we can go, I'm going to get to spend eternity with Him. I'm going to get to be part of His family. Not because of me, but because of Him. So we're all prodigals to some extent. This morning, God's Spirit speaking to you about a decision you need to make, whether it be to join this church, whether it be to renew your relationship with God, whether, if you're here for the first time, to make a commitment to Christ as your Lord and Savior. And in a moment as we sing, I encourage you to follow as God leads. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for loving us in such a way that we are unworthy of Your goodness. We're unworthy of Your grace. You sent Your Son to pay our penalty, to provide us salvation. Lord, help us to be like this prodigal in the sense that one day we come to that moment where we recognize what You've done and we desire that relationship with You to be made right. I pray this morning that as we walk out these doors, every heart in here would have a right relationship with You. Show us by the power of Your Holy Spirit what we need to do. We might not have to look back in our life and remember when we once were close to You, but that from this day forward, we will always be close to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing number 318.